Hello, my name's Adrian Thomas, and I'm from the RSPB, the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds. And I have a particular fascination and love, and that is birdsong. And we're at that point in the year where if you step outside, even into a back garden, but out into the countryside, out into woods, the coast, marshes, you will hear a glorious chorus of birdsong. I would say I'm probably addicted to it. There's something really compelling about it. I like to think of it as the natural soundtrack to our lives, and you don't have to go too far back in time to think that it would be the majority of sounds that people heard: the sound of the wind, the sound of water, and the sound of birdsong. I also find that knowing something about the birds that are singing and why they are making those noises really helps when you're listening. But when you do, when you get into a place where you're surrounded by birdsong, it can be so relaxing. It can speak to us in really quite a deep way. And there's something about birdsong that is akin to the songs that we love. So I thought I'd share with you today some of the birdsongs that are really typical, that you can hear in many places across the country, and what it is that you're listening for. And I thought we'd start with perhaps the commonest birdsong to be heard in gardens, because it's the most widespread, and that's the song of the blackbird. We'll play it through first. I like to think of each burst of song, I call it a verse, just as we would with a song. And the intriguing thing with a blackbird, it's one of those birds that sings a different verse every time. And so you might be thinking, well, how am I supposed to know that's the blackbird if it's doing something different? It's the theme of the song that you're listening for rather than the exact verse. So with a blackbird, you're listening for a song which is only about 3 seconds long, each verse. And each verse starts with some really fluty, beautiful notes. But the blackbird finishes almost every verse with a little twiddle at the end. So the blackbird, 3 seconds, fluty, with a twiddle at the end. The second bird that I brought along is another really common one that can be heard in parks and gardens everywhere, and that is the robin. It's another of our birds that sings a different verse every time. So again, you're not listening for the exact translation of that verse, but you're listening for what it feels like. And the robin sings verse lengths, which are pretty much the same as the blackbird, about 3 seconds every time. But there's something fluid and watery about the robin. It trickles and it bubbles and it gurgles. You don't have that flutiness and you don't have the twiddle at the end. Let's listen to it again. My third one is the blackcap, which is a little species of warbler. The male hat does have a blackcap, and he sings from high in a tree. Numbers are increasing. It's one of those good news stories with birds. So it can be heard in gardens at this time of year as they return from the Mediterranean. It has a flutiness like the blackbird, but the song is longer. Each verse may be 4 or 5 seconds long. And the thing I love about the blackcap song is that when it starts its song, it's quite tentative. It's as if this bird isn't sure of himself. And yet halfway through, it suddenly breaks out into a glorious melody at the end, as if it suddenly finds confidence. So listen out for the blackcap. It really is a beauty, but listen for that tentative start for the first half, breaking out into sheer confidence at the end as he finds his voice. My fourth song is the great tit, and whereas with our first three, we've had rather melodic singers who sing something different every time, with the great tit, we're with a bird that likes to get into a rhythm. Let's hear that. That rhythmic, you could almost render it as teacher, teacher, teacher. And then the great tit will sing that same song again and again until the female gets bored. And we have done the research to show that this is the case. The female likes a male who can repeat exactly. And then when he's done that a few times, she likes him to move on to a different version. So he might move on to teacher, cha, teacher, cha, and sing that a few times. And a male will have 4, 5, 6 different versions before he returns to his original teacher, teacher, teacher. I thought it'd be then good to listen to a bird that it sounds like it's singing a song, but actually there is a big group of birds called the songbirds who have to learn their songs. And our blackbird, our robin, our blackcap, our great tit all have to learn how to sing their songs. Whereas the wood pigeon is a more primitive type of bird and its song is inbuilt in it. It's hardwired into it. Let's listen to that. I'm sure it's a really familiar sound to you, and I love it because it forms that kind of bass line to a bird song chorus. And I like to render it as, don't want to go, I don't want to go, I don't want to go. And it builds up every time, and yet bizarrely it finishes with the I. It's such a joyous thing when you get the full chorus. It speaks to so many people, has so many health benefits towards us, just to sit and listen and be mindful in amongst birdsong. And it's a reminder that we are in a nature crisis and that we're losing a lot of the birdsong from our environment. If you get the chance, this is the time of year to get out and really enjoy it. If you want to find out more, we've got plenty of sounds on the RSPB website. And I won't hold back from saying that I did write and record the RSPB Guide to Bird Song, which guides you through all of our common bird songs and helps you listen out for the things that pick it out from other birds. And in doing so, you get to understand more about all of this wonderful, joyous life that's around you, understand more about it and gain even more joy from it. Get out there if you can. This, for me, is the joyous season when that chorus is at its peak.